You're listening to the John C. Scott Political Forum. This podcast is a Bustos Media production on The Voice. Be sure to subscribe wherever you listen to your favorite podcasts.
Hey, dude, I just love having nothing to do, man.
I love your man cave. It's so cool. Hey, what's that noise, man? It's coming from the garage.
Oh, no, man. It's Christine. She's upset about something.
Hey, I'll be right back.
Hey, what are you upset about? I'm always good to you.
Stop it. I need some love. Quit taking me to those quirky lube places.
You're ramming me.
It's time you started taking care of me.
Stop it.
I need a lube job. I can't wait for my transmission flush. And, buddy, I need a rear-end service and an alignment so bad my tires shake. I need a spa day at Perfection Auto Works.
Okay. I'll take you to Perfection Auto Works.
If your car could talk, what would she say to you? Make your car purr by having it serviced at Perfection Auto Works today. Our free 26-point inspection will have your car covered from bumper to bumper. 323-8650 and perfectionautoworks.com.
Hi, my name is Jim Hanley. I was born and raised in Tucson, and I raised my own boys here. I want to get to know you, your dreams and goals, and help you shape them into a plan for success. I've been helping hundreds of Tucson families do this since 1993. It takes experience and know-how to navigate the rocky shoals of the financial markets and keep you on an even keel. I look at every account I manage every day to find opportunities to grow your nest egg, to make you at ease and enjoying your life. I want to show you the highest integrity and reliability you can find anywhere. That's why I named my business with my own name, Jim Hanley LLC, and why I'm a member of the CFA Society of Tucson. Find me at jimhanleyllc.com or call me at 623-3646. That's 623-3646. Jim Hanley LLC is a registered investment advisor and a member of FINRA SIPC.
Together they brought a bit of France to the heart of Tucson. Guigny's French Cafe and La Baguette Bakery at Prince and Campbell have become a gathering place for Tucsonans who love great bread and wonderful food. The bread and the pastries of La Baguette Bakery have become a Tucson favorite, and Guigny's French Cafe offers casual atmosphere, delightful French cuisine, and moderate prices. Dine in or dine out, Guigny's is just perfect for breakfast and lunch, offering specialty coffees, lattes, French wines, cocktails, imported beer, and a touch of France. Guigny's French Cafe and La Baguette Bakery in the Safeway Center at Prince and Campbell have now become Tucson's destination to dine in or to take out.
Welcome to the John C. Scott Political Forum. John C. Scott is hosting one of the longest-running political talk shows in Arizona. This is the John C. Scott Political Forum on KVOI AM 1030, The Voice. And now, John C. Scott.
Thank you, and I welcome you to the John C. Scott Political Forum, the most talked to, talked about, and listened to talk show weekends in all of Arizona. Thanks so much for making that possible. Today, Sam Stone, GOP consultant, GOP strategist, and an aide to Republican Phoenix City Councilman Saul DeCicco will be with us. Also, Tile will be talking to Rex Scott, Pima County Supervisor from District 1. Supervisors say no to a mandate of vaccines for Gehaudi employees, but the city says they will mandate vaccines for all city employees. What the hell is going on? Then we'll talk, of course, with Jim Hanley, our financial expert. A lot to get to on this very busy Saturday afternoon. Thank you so much for joining us. With us, Sam Stone. Hi, Sam.
How are you?
I'm fine, thank you. I know, just from Facebook, your father's in very critical condition. You had a poignant and just heart-tugging comment about trying to communicate with him here at the perhaps end of his life, and he was not able to talk with you, and you admonished almost everyone to say, look, if you have something to say to somebody, say it now. That was so powerful. Tell me about your father. He was a remarkable individual, a giant of a man.
Well, still is, and fortunately his condition isn't quite that bad yet, but he's in the last few likely months, cancer. But, you know, pretty extraordinary man. Obviously, he's my hero, but, here's a guy who founded at one time what was a Fortune 500 company in the 1960s, Monogram Industries, left that, went on to do a ton of other things in his life, including for a long time own the Phoenix Firebirds AAA baseball team. And when the Diamondbacks came into Phoenix, kind of swapped that for the Tucson Toros and then Sidewinders. And really, his story is hard for me to tell because certainly in any kind of length of time, it is so extraordinary. But, you know, here's a guy who ate meals on the bus with Henry Aaron when he pitched batting practice for the Atlanta Braves. And Aaron wasn't allowed to go into restaurants in the South and helped found the Urban League, which, you know, one of the most important civil rights organizations of the 60s, 70s, and 80s. You know, so his career has really spanned generations.
You know, there was a rumor, I don't know if it's a rumor, it's probably a truth, that he had the money to buy the Boston Red Sox. The owner of the Boston Red Sox refused to sell him the Red Sox because he was Jewish. Is that true?
Yeah, that is true also.
Good God.
You know, Jane Yawkey, who had inherited the team from her husband, Tom, you know, he had put together the bid for the team, and she actually used some of the money she had received in the, you know, in his passing to back the group as she learned more about my father. So it was a you know, pretty terrible blow for him, and actually that's when our family moved from Boston into upstate New York, really kind of two extremes, right from, you know, the city into a place where our nearest neighbor was about 2.5 miles away.
My God. Let me ask you just one thing that perhaps stands out as to why your father was so enormously successful. And he was successful almost at everything he tried. What character trait did he have? What was about him that made him so incredibly successful?
Persistence. I mean, he would tell you he wasn't the smartest man. He wasn't always the, you know, the toughest or anything like that. The mistakes he made were often mistakes of, you know, being a little more soft-hearted than maybe some of his competitors. But he never, the one thing I saw from him over and over and over is no matter what he did, he didn't believe he would fail. That never crossed his mind. And sometimes he did, and, you know, reach that realization and okay, you move on, but everyone does. And I think what got him those successes was having no consideration at all for the possibility that he would fail in the things he was trying to do.
Well, thank you. My prayers for your family as you go through an enormously difficult time. Very quickly, let's talk some politics. First of all, we had the so-called money that was handed out to the American people, trillions of dollars. And then, of course, now we're talking about an infrastructure of $1.5 trillion, then a budget of $3.5 trillion. Pretty soon we're going to be talking about a lot of money here, aren't we?
Well, we've been talking about a lot of money for a long time, and that's why you're seeing these, you know, rise in prices and all these things. And I think, you know, look, if you look back at our history, if we stay about where we are now and you see a 3-5% inflation, it's not going to be great for people, but the economy can still thrive. We're at the point where we may print enough to drive it well beyond that. And for people who remember, you know, the late 70s and times when you had really, really high inflation in this country, those high inflation creates really tough times for people. And so that's the risk we're starting to run. And one of the things you saw in every round of this is that government is really the only thing they did really effectively with all this money they've handed out. The two things. One, they did the enhanced unemployment, did that through the existing system. So, okay, you have everything's processed in the way that government was already doing it. It wasn't out of character. The other one was just sending checks to people. That worked fine. Everything else they've done runs through government that is so bloody inefficient these days and so ill-managed. And so much of that is baked into law and called best practice when it is a disaster, that government fails to deliver value for all those dollars basically every single time. You're seeing it with getting that money out to people who need it for rent and things like that. Government has gotten to the point it needs to be – really, really cleaned up in how it operates, or we're not going to fix these problems.
Well, I ask you about the whole idea of a situation in which there was a bipartisan support for this infrastructure bill, or at least it's apparent that there is. Who wins in that politically? Did both sides win politically?
I mean, I think Democrats had the upper hand still, so they got more of what they wanted in it. Frankly, my problem is it's $1.2 trillion, but only about $300 billion of it could be actual what people think of as infrastructure, right? Roads, bridges, trains, buses, whatever have you. If it was $1.2 trillion of that, I think the American public would be getting a huge win, and it would be very needed. And I think you could spend even more than that if you really just did those things, rebuild our electrical grid, harden it, secure our water resources, expand reservoirs, do all the things we need to do to really make a difference for the future. But we're not doing that. It's too political on both sides.
Whole idea, I think, literally, of what's next with this huge budget, $3.5 trillion. That's an enormous number, isn't it?
It is beyond fathoming. And we've gotten to the point where these numbers are ridiculous and people, can't even comprehend them. And, you look at these things, and government has just lost touch with reality. That's what that amounts to. I mean, it's lost touch with reality. Let's get real, because we're starting to get into very dangerous territory. And a lot of this stuff, like, it's handout wish list. It's the worst pork imaginable, where they're just throwing it at every government entity imaginable and telling them to throw it at every nonprofit and research this and green tech that. And you're going to get a million cylinders out of this thing. I mean, you're going to get so much waste, which we've already seen with ARPA and CARES. So much feeding of the beast that doesn't get to the public, and it's going to be a mess.
We're going to talk about the elections of next year, which will be very critical as to who not only owns the Senate, but the House as well. And that's going to determine what kind of 2 years of the first term of, if there is just a one term, of Biden as President of the United States. Let me take a quick break and come back with you. Please stay with me, Sam Stone. I'm so glad you joined me. Thank you so much. Back in a moment. Now, two great furniture stores have become one. Homestyle Galleries, formerly located at 1010 South Wilmot and 2950 West Ina Road, have moved the Wilmot store to the West Ina Road location, making the Ina Road location one of the largest and most complete pre-owned and new quality furniture and home accessory store in Arizona. Homestyle Gallery saves you thousands of dollars on Southern Arizona's finest home furnishings. Now you can turn once-loved furnishings into cash. Visit this new Homestyle Gallery store at 2950 West Ina Road. They're open 7 days a week. There's never been a home furnishings inventory like this 15,000 square feet superstore. You must visit Homestyle Gallery's one-stop location for Southern Arizona's largest savings on quality furniture.
What organizations sponsor the news you see on TV? Do you think these sponsorships affect the news reports about their products? Do these same organizations sponsor politicians? If you recognize that our current leaders represent their own interests far more than yours, if you question the political theater you're fed every day, and if you question the approved narrative, become engaged for freedom in the Pima County Libertarian Party, no matter your political party preference.
Check out PimaLP.org or find us on Facebook. Paid for by the Pima County Libertarian Party.
Bring your donation of school supplies to Sparkle Cleaners. Many times, our school teachers must reach into their own pockets to buy supplies for their classrooms. You can help support our teachers and students by donating school supplies at any location of Sparkle Cleaners. Tucson business owners will be collecting school supplies. Your contribution will help our kids succeed. Bring your donation of school supplies to Sparkle Cleaners. The school supply drive is sponsored by Treasures for Teachers of Tucson, Sparkle Cleaners, and Tucson Business Owners Incorporated.
From the Perfection Auto Works Studios, this is the John C. Scott Political Forum. GOP strategist, GOP consultant Sam Stone is with us. You've predicted in all of our conversations over the last 90 days that the Republicans more than likely will take the House. It's a little more iffy about the Senate because the Republicans have so many seats to defend. Has that changed at all as we end this summer almost and finally get rid of it? What's your thinking now?
No, I don't think that's changed particularly. I think everyone's kind of holding their breath and waiting to see where redistricting comes down, which will have an enormous amount, obviously, to do with that. But I tend to think that Republicans are going to remain in a very good position. I think people are going to want some balance. Some voters who voted straight Democrat, who did not normally do that because, frankly, because of Trump. I think they're going to come back and you have, they're going to go back to ballot splitting because they want some sort of parity. And frankly, gridlock often works better for the American people than a Congress and White House that can act in concert. And, which on either side these days tends to mean they're going to run out a ridiculously partisan overreaching agenda.
What's your take, though, on the situation in regard to the Trump factor in the campaigns of 2022?
Yeah, I think it's more – I don't think it's a huge factor in 2022. I think whether he runs or not is an enormous factor in 2024. A few months ago he was making a lot of signals that that was the case, and now he's making fewer signals or very few. That may be just – him taking a break and having some time with his family, or it may be a change in the thinking in his camp. I don't know. But I think it has a ton to do with what happens in 2024 when I truly don't anticipate Biden running again. I think it's clear at this point it will need to be somebody else.
Let's talk a little bit about the Phoenix government and the police department of the largest city in our state, our capital, being investigated by the federal government and FBI. What the hell's going on there?
Frankly, this is an entirely political investigation, but the problem is the DOJ has been heavily politicized. And so they go in and take over these standards and practices investigation, which gives them the ability to go make consent decree agreements with a host of, local organizations. So if you saw what they're doing, they're talking about both the things around the protest and then stuff around the homeless folks' belongings. So really what generated this is a couple of council members and a mayor, frankly, unfortunately, who are not willing to address the reality of some problems that we're dealing with here. One is that when we had those protests last year, they attempted to get very violent. They had people who were organizing to do that. Police used some laws that, frankly, they shouldn't, that were not part of gang laws that really didn't apply to protesters. But while you have a right to peaceably assemble, you don't have a right to organized violence and property destruction. And that was what we were seeing attempted. And so police responded poorly. City has investigated that. We hired an outside investigation that just came in. It does point some fingers at the police and the Maricopa County attorneys. That'd be addressed. There's no need for the DOJ.
By the way,
there's
been protest against the police, but there's certainly been protest gathering supporting the blue in Phoenix, and they've had pretty significant turnouts, have they not?
Yeah, they have, and frankly, we did a poll last year. The police union did a poll, but did it through Mike Noble and his organization, some of the best pollsters in Arizona, that showed something like 85% of people in Phoenix are really happy with our cops. And about 75% want more of them. These protests attacking the police are really coming from a very small group of people. And often the stories you hear, when they come to council are, my family member or somebody I knew who was engaged in crime was treated badly. Oh, I'm sorry. I just don't have much sympathy for that. Come on.
The idea, though, I think that somebody may fall, police chief, council people or something. Is there going to be a fallout here from this investigation? Is somebody going to have to take it, I guess?
There are going to be some of that, but a lot of what the Justice Department does, and for instance, they've been investigating the Portland Police Department this way for a decade now, right? And it isn't exactly making community relations with the police there any better. So, but what it is doing is actually paying for those protests that are getting out of control, because the DOJ comes in, they sign consent decrees. So the police will continue to operate under these rules that we're setting, and we're going to give you some money so you agree to it. And they pay these groups, these activist groups that help organize the protests that lead to the situation. It is a scam, John. It's a scam. And the fact that DOJ is involved in it is embarrassing and totally inappropriate.
How long do you think this is going to go on? You talked about how long
it's going to... A decade, 20 years.
Really?
They never stop.
20 years.
So once they get in there, you can go look online. They have been actively involved in police departments in this country with these investigations that have not stopped since 1979, almost as long as I've been alive. Well, they have police departments that have been dealing with this for 40 years.
Very quickly, what's the power of the Department of Justice when it comes to punishment to a city or a police department, certainly within one of the largest cities in America, the fifth largest city in America, Phoenix, Arizona? What powers
do they
have?
They make a ton of threats. You know, they make a ton of threats. They'll threaten to pull your funding from various government sources. They'll threaten all sorts of, mostly it's money, but then they'll threaten legal action and all this kind of thing. What they're really threatening is the pocketbook. We're going to tie you up in court and make you pay for a ton of lawyers because we have a ton. We are a ton of lawyers. And that's what they do. And this is really a dishonest practice by the federal government that has been engineered in a way that is designed basically to pay off the people who are complaining, to keep them, to stop them from complaining. The problem is it doesn't even do that.
Sam Stone, good to talk with you. Again, my prayers and thoughts with your family during a very difficult time. Thanks for sharing your thoughts about your remarkable father. I have heard
Thank
of him
you, John.
All for decades of my life, and now I feel like I know I'm a bit better thanks to your comments. I appreciate them so much, and I appreciate you being on the show. Thank you very much.
Yep, thank you.
Sam Stone, GOP strategist, GOP consultant, aide to Republican City Councilman Saul DeCicco of Phoenix, a regular on the John C. Scott Political Forum.
And they're off and running, pedal to the metal madness.
My gosh, the drivers in Tucson are insane. I've never seen anything like it.
Oh, look at that, a near collision. Oh, number 21 just missed the lead driver. Oh, no, I saw that coming. A pileup on the first lap.
It's insanity, I tell you.
Those cars are out of commission. Look at number 17. There's smoke coming out of the engine.
Look at the flames underneath that vehicle.
Well, he knows what to do. He's pulling into Perfection Auto Works pit stop. Look at those mechanics go like ants on honey.
This is incredible. Look, he's getting back in the race.
What was that? 7.6 seconds. That's perfection.
When you're involved in the fast-paced race of life, and you know you're in need of a pit stop, pull into Perfection Auto Works. Our expert crew and free 26-point inspection will get you back on the road fast and furiously. 323-8650 and perfectionautoworks.com.
Radio advertising busts through clutter and reaches your customers with immediacy.
Contact Ackerley Advertising.
Tell a creative story with intimacy and emotion to sell your products and services directly to your customer.
Contact Ackerley Advertising.
Your radio commercial puts you front and center in the listener's attention span.
Contact Ackerley Advertising.
Ackerley Advertising has over 5 decades of radio advertising experience. Stir emotion, create demand, and grow your business with radio.
Contact Ackerley Advertising.
From the Perfection Auto Works Studios, this is the John C. Scott Political Forum. Rex Scott is with us, District 1 Supervisor. Rex, welcome to the show. So very glad you could join us. Thank you.
John, happy to be with you and your listeners, and I hope you and your family are doing well.
Thank you. Congratulations on your great victory last year. It was an uphill battle, winning by 700 votes, but in a...
730. Come on, John.
I understand that. I understand numbers. I lost a race by 86, so I never forgot that number.
Man.
So there you go. The whole idea, I think, is that, this is a traditional Republican district here, a Democrat that won, and I think most people are very pleased with the work you've been doing. But let me ask you about a couple of things. First of all, the City Council of Tucson mandates vaccines for all employees. Board of Supervisors did not. In fact, the Board of Supervisors rejected masks for school children. And I know that obviously the good doctor got up and walked out. Van Hines just said, I don't want to hear this. I'm the doctor. I understand how serious this is. By the way, there were 3,000 new COVID-19 cases for Arizona every day for the last 2 days, and we've got a real problem. What was the thinking on the Board of Supervisors? You voted not to go with the mandates. Why?
Well, let's take them one at a time. First of all, when it comes to having a K-12 mask mandate, I am concerned that it would be a mandate in name only. And the only way masks are effective is if they are worn universally. And if we're going to have universal masking in our schools, then we need assurance that that is going to happen. Unfortunately, Arizona is one of, I think, 8 states where the legislature and the governor have banned local mask mandates. So if Pima County were to say, disagree with state law and we're telling the schools to put a mask mandate in place, K-12, I don't think we're going to be able to offer any assurance that that mandate would be enforced. Now, on Monday, we're going to be considering putting in place a policy that would provide schools with support both from the health department and from the legal department, the county attorney, if they were to decide to put a mask mandate in place. Let me just offer an example. TUSD has decided to do that. And so if you are a TUSD employee and you say, I refuse to wear a mask, you can be disciplined because that's now a matter of board policy. Similar if a student says they don't want to wear a mask or a visitor to their campuses. So I think if school districts want to put mask mandates in place, the county is going to be talking about a policy on Monday to support that. But what was proposed to us last week would have put the school districts in between the county and the state. It would have been a mandate in name only, John, and I'm not interested in tilting at windmills.
All right, let's go to the mandate for vaccines for employees.
Right.
The city has said it will be mandated if you work for the city, go and get a vaccine. What about the county? You said no.
We did, and again, it's a function of the fact that the governor and the legislature have banned local governments from putting vaccine mandates in place. That law, now they say it's in effect now, the governor and the legislature do. Even if they're wrong, it goes into effect on September 29th. If we had passed a vaccine mandate last week, it would have gone into effect on September 10th because there was no emergency clause attached to it. And an emergency clause would require a vote of 4 of the 5 supervisors anyway. And that would have given us 19 days to have people get 2 shots. It's impossible. I am willing, very willing, to mandate vaccines for Pima County employees. I said that during the meeting. I'm willing to work with our employee groups on putting that in place. We have some incentives and disincentives for Pima County employees who are not yet vaccinated that we are going to be talking about on Monday. But again, if it's a mandate that is essentially toothless and unable to be put in place, I don't see the point in voting for it.
All right.
And we also do have significant concerns by the representatives of our employee groups, and I think we need to be working with them on any mandate, COVID-19 mandate for our employees.
All right, very quickly, and I apologize for the brevity of this interview. We just jammed up on a very busy Saturday. A Barstool Sports sponsor of the Arizona Bowl,
our
football game. You're pulled $40,000 in support for this because of comments that Dave Portnoy apparently made at one time about a size 6 woman wearing jeans deserves to be raped. I'm not quoting it specifically, but you get the picture here. I don't know how you're going to have a bowl and invite women with this kind of background. I don't know what the hell these people are thinking. You just pulled $40,000. God knows whether anybody's going to show up for this or not. What were they thinking? I mean, everybody knew about this guy. Everybody knew about Barstool Sports. What the hell? I mean, this is a unmitigated disaster. It really is.
Well, I did have a sit-down meeting with Kim Adair, who's the executive director of the Arizona Bowl, and she went through the process that she and her colleagues went through in order to come up with Barstool Sports as the title sponsor. I understand how they made that decision. I understand why they think it's a good deal for the bowl and for the community. But what I had to decide, John, was whether or not the county's name and the public revenues that are entrusted to us should be affiliated with Barstool Sports, and I couldn't do that. I just simply could not do that. And there's a history of comments and behaviors over the 17 years that that company has been in existence. It's not just Mr. Portnoy. There are other aspects of their businesses' operations over the years that I think would have made a significant number of people in Pima County feel that it was not a celebration of our community that they could be part of. So I was not willing to invest the county's money or associate the county's name with a bowl that where the title sponsor is a company like Barstool Sports.
Rick Scott, you're doing a great job. I want to thank you for being on the show. And next time we're going to have you on for an extended period of time. We've just had very little opportunity to talk about other subjects that I wanted to get into, which we just don't have time to do today. But I appreciate you covering not only the vaccination policy, the Barstool Sports story, as well as the mandates that we talked about on both counts for county employees as well as school children wearing masks. I appreciate that very much. I hope you'll come back and spend some additional time with us. I'll certainly invite you, and I hope you'll attend.
You can count on it, John. Always a pleasure. Thank you for the time.
You bet. Rick Scott, District 1 Supervisor, Pima County. I'll be back in a moment with our financial expert, Jim Hanley, after these messages. From the Perfection Auto Studios, this is the John C. Scott Political Forum. Now, two great furniture stores have become one. Homestyle Galleries, formerly located at 1010 South Wilmot and 2950 West Ina Road, have moved the Wilmot store to the West Ina Road location, making the Ina Road location one of the largest and most complete pre-owned and new quality furniture and home accessories store in Arizona. Homestyle Gallery saves you thousands of dollars on Southern Arizona's finest home furnishings. Now you can turn once-loved furnishings into cash. Visit this new Homestyle Gallery store at 2950 West Ina Road. They're open 7 days a week. There's never been a home furnishings inventory like this 15,000 square feet superstore. You must visit Homestyle Gallery's one-stop location for Southern Arizona's largest savings on quality furniture.
Do you want election integrity and transparency? Are you one of those Americans who is sick and tired of the political duopoly? Do you wish there were another viable choice? Do you recognize that our current leaders represent their own interests far more than yours? Do you question the political theater you're fed every day? What do you believe, the approved narrative or your own eyes?
Are you ready to become engaged for freedom no matter your political party preference? Check out PimaLP.org or find us on Facebook. Paid for by the Pima County Libertarian Party.
Are you tired of being lumped into the worst elements of history when you exercise your right to speak, dissent, or petition your government? Are you perplexed by those who cannot distinguish between speech and violence? If you recognize that our current leaders represent their own interests far more than yours, if you question the political theater you're fed every day, and if you question the approved narrative, become engaged for freedom in the Pima County Libertarian Party, no matter your political party preference.
Check out PimaLP.org or find us on Facebook. Paid for by the Pima County Libertarian Party.
Bring your donation of school supplies to Sparkle Cleaners. Many times, our school teachers must reach into their own pockets to buy supplies for their classrooms. You can help support our teachers and students by donating school supplies at any location of Sparkle Cleaners. Tucson business owners will be collecting school supplies. Your contribution will help our kids succeed. Bring your donation of school supplies to Sparkle Cleaners. The school supply drive is sponsored by Treasures for Teachers of Tucson, Sparkle Cleaners, and Tucson Business Owners Incorporated.
The Perfection Auto Work Studios. This is the John C. Scott Political Forum. Jim Hanley is one of the smartest financial advisors I've talked with in the 50 years of broadcasting here in Tucson, Arizona, that I've been a part of. And he joins us now. Jim, welcome to the show. Thanks so much for being with us. Everybody's talking about inflation. A lot of people think it's going to be mitigated somewhat. What say you?
Oh, I don't think that it's too much of a concern, John. We saw the core producer price index up 1%. It was a record high month over month, but it's, you know, it's not that big of a deal. CPI, Consumer Price Index, was up 0.5% in July, year over year. Since last July, it's up 5.4%. So I think that we do have an awful lot of cash that is sloshing around out there that needs to be put to work. The best thing that we can do to you know, help to prevent inflation is to get a lot of this capital, which is not working, to work through passing the Biden Build Back Better plans and the infrastructure plan. If we do that, we're going to ramp up production. We're going to have more people at work. More people are going to be paying taxes and demanding products and services. So that's what we really need to stimulate the economy, or continue to grow the economy. It's doing quite well right now. So, but I'm very hopeful that those nine Democrats in the House will stop their games and this pledge that they have not to vote for the reconciliation bill until the compromise infrastructure bill is passed.
Let's talk a little bit about the so-called corporate earnings and net profits. Do you have a view on both, please?
I do. So revenues were the highest year over year in 13 years, just shy of 25%. To give you an idea of, you know, just how high that was, the five-year average is about 4.5%. The 10-year average is 3.4%. So to have revenues up almost 25% is really amazing. There's a lot of sales out there. Earnings were up. 89% of the S&P 500 companies reported their earnings, and the blended rate is 88.8% year over year. So there's a lot of sales, and earnings on sales is up. And net profits on the earnings is also up. They were 13% in the quarter. So to give you an idea on net profits, the 5-year average is less than 11%. And in the second quarter of 20, they were 8.6%. So corporations are profitable. Sales are up, revenues are up, and the new claims is down. They were 375,000 new claims. That's down 12,000 from the previous week. The 3-month trailing average is 386,000. And the 12-week range is 368 to 444,000. So we see a continuing decline in people reporting lost jobs. We also are seeing the second week in a row that continuing claims have less than 3 million people on claim. That was down 114,000. So this great reopening is continuing right along. A lot of momentum here. The earnings and revenues reports show that even though the stock market set a record high again on Friday, at the Dow being at 35,515, there is plenty of room for price appreciation because of the continuing growth in earnings and revenue.
You know, Jim, it must be fun to be able to talk to your clients when things are looking pretty good. I mean, you've been doing this for a long time, and there were times when you went, well, I don't know, this doesn't look so good. But,
oh, sure.
I mean, good grief. You're talking about things that have never happened before that are on the positive side of investing.
Yeah, yeah,
so that must be a pleasure to get up in the morning and say, well, I'm going to talk to so-and-so and say, how's the stock market? Well, it's pretty damn good, actually.
It is good, John, because, you know, it's what happened is you know, it's yesterday's news to clients. They want to know what's going to happen. They always want to know what's going to happen. And, you know, I just finished all of my quarterly reviews for the second quarter, and all my clients are very happy with the year-to-date returns, and I don't want to be painting too much blue sky here, John, but you know, that's my practice, I think, is you know what I'm bringing to clients is a reflection of the great reopening that we're having. You know, there's a lot of fear, John, out there for the Delta variant, and a lot of news about a spike in new infections, and it's there, all right. But I don't see a tremendous impact in the general economy, you know, or much of a deterrent to this momentum we have in the great reopening. So a lot of people are still out there, are going to get sick, and a lot of people are going to die because they're holdouts on the vaccinations. They're up. I saw last week that there were 770,000 vaccinations last week, which is getting, you know, back to that level of 1 million that we need to get to. It's, you know, it's too bad that we have shock jocks, you know, right-wing shock jocks, you know, and we have, you know, Ron Paul in Congress, you know, painting conspiracy theories about the, you know, the vaccine and so forth, that they're keeping people from getting their shots. We also have leadership, my God, you know, there's governors like Abbott in Texas and Ron DeSantis in Florida. Causing, you know, because of the confusion, their outright mandates. Governor Ducey here, mandating schools may not have masks, mandating those kinds of mitigation measures that are necessary for this Delta variant spike. They're not allowing it.
Well, yeah, I mean, I mentioned 3,000 new cases yesterday, 3,000 new cases the day before. Those are huge. That's 6,000 people that have COVID-19 that didn't have it 48 hours ago, for God's sake.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. They're swamping the critical care units. People in Texas, it's so bad that, you know, they were saying, if your child needs to come into ICU, he's going to have to wait for somebody else's child to die before there's a bed. That's Texas for you.
Yeah,
that's that kind of leadership that we're seeing there.
Well, Jim, I want people to give you a call, 623-3646. I cannot recommend any other financial advisor other than you, because I have such great confidence in not only your expertise, but in the enormous success you've had with your clients. I think people should learn more about that. You can go to jimhanleyllc.com, or you can go to 623-3646. Just give Jim a call. He'd be glad to talk with you almost at any time. Jim, have a great weekend. Thanks for being on our show. Thanks for being a part of the John C. Scott Political Forum. I'm better because
of
it. Thank you.
Thanks for having me, John. As a pleasure, always.
Thank you so much. I want to thank Sam Stone, GOP consultant, GOP strategist, aide to Republican Phoenix Councilman Saul DeSistio, for being with us to start our show. Rex Scott, District 1 Pima County Supervisor. And, of course, Jim Hanley, our financial advisor. From the Perfection Auto Works Studios, this is the John C. Scott Political Forum. Mike Emery makes all this happen. This is the place you should take your car, Perfection Auto Works, for any repair. You can trust this guy. He can repair your car fairly and honestly and make you very happy. You went to Perfection Auto Works. Have a great weekend, everybody. Thanks for listening.
Hey. SPR repair. I hear these guys are good fellas.
Why are you here? What are you doing here?
Hey, my car's making a funny noise, and,
What do you mean, funny? I don't understand funny. What, like, I amuse you? Like, this is a funny place? Funny like a clown? What do you mean, funny? What?
What are you doing?
Tell me.
How much is this going to cost me?
What do you mean, how much is it going to cost you? What do you mean? What are you doing? Embarrass me in front of my mechanics? What's wrong with you? Get out of here. Leave the keys and get out of here. Get out of here. Get out of my shop right now. Get out of here. I'll get back with you.
When it comes to auto and truck repair, not everyone you deal with is a good fella. At Perfection Auto Works, we take car repair very seriously. From your brakes, belts and hoses, to funny noises under the hood. 323-8650 and perfectionautoworks.com.